Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Illinois Farm Economics Summit in Mount Vernon, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's Friday, the 18th day of December. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Eric Snodgrass of AgriBull should be here to take a look at the weather forecast. Very important as things continue to develop in South America. And we'll discuss the marketplace as it relates to longer-term commodity outlook price with Daryl Good, who's been traveling with us all week long in DeKalb and Peoria and Springfield and Champaign and right here in Mount Vernon. And we'll do it all on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Remember, you can find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
No update of the commodity markets on this Friday afternoon, as again, I'm traveling with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits across the state of Illinois. In fact, have wrapped up and should be headed back from Mount Vernon to Champaign. Coming up over the next 2 weeks, I'll be on vacation and out of the office. However, the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week are already pre-produced, and they'll be posted to the website, and you can hear them on our radio stations each and every day over that two-week period. I'll return when the first Monday of January comes up. So look forward to being with you on those days and that time space. You can always pick up the programming at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. My intention over the two-week period, in fact, is to post the Farm Assets Conference videos and the PowerPoints and audio from the Illinois Farm Economics Summit to the WILLAG.org website. So keep track of what's been happening there over the two-week period. I think you'll see probably the Farm Assets Conference next week, and I'll get to the Illinois Farm Economics Summits the following week, all at WILLAG.org. Great way to stay up on what's happening in the marketplace, and more importantly, over that two-week period, things like big data and a look forward at price outlook with Daryl Good, agricultural economist from the U of I. Speaking of which, we'll have a preview of what he had to say during the farm assets during the Illinois Farm Economic Summits coming up in just a moment. Let's take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions across the United States. In the Midwest, over the next several days, we'll see 30 degrees today and a rising temperature drop to 24 tonight here in Urbana-Champaign. On Saturday, 34 with a low of 21. And then we kind of have a chance of rainfall on Sunday and Monday, a high of 49 and degrees on Monday, and we'll go to a low about 34. Wednesday and Thursday, get this, 54 degrees under partly cloudy skies. We'll drop back just to the low 40s, upper 30s, and then Friday, as we get to next week, 46 degrees with the high and 32 for the low. That in the state of Illinois. Other parts of the Midwest are pretty much the same. If we turn our attention to the growing regions in South America, we see that today there's 94 degree temperature in Mato Grosso. On Saturday, they'll go to 102. Sunday, 99 degrees, very hot. There is a chance of rainfall in a good portion of Mato Grosso over the next 7 days. Mato Grosso do Sul, which is just a little to the south of that primary growing region, has a 93 degree temperature for the day, and they'll run to 95 and 94 on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. And then in Goiás, their temperatures are warm in the upper 80s. Over the next several days, they'll drop back into the 60s. For soybeans in Paraguay, even worse. They'll go to 101 degrees today, and then they'll drop back to 84 tomorrow and climb back up to 102 degrees as they finish out the week.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this Friday afternoon, coming to you from the Illinois Farm Economics Summit in Mount Vernon. Of course, recording over the noon hours. Really, I should be traveling or nearly back to Champaign by the time this program airs. We're joined now by Mike Zuzulo, who's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Mike, as I've watched the market on and off throughout the day and today and yesterday, it was interesting to watch soybeans climb yesterday, turn around and make a run today, but they have backed off a little. Just kind of at this point, do you expect any follow-through from that as we get into next week, either to the upside or downside?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the morning comments, Todd, about how this weather is probably doing some significant damage or has already done some significant damage, but the next 10 days are probably going to become the biggest issue. And we did see that the Farm Federation of Brazil came out on Friday midday, putting their, and they're the number four state for Goiás, putting their production down almost 6% to 9.8 million tons with the strong reference that any further dryness could cut the crop more. So I think we're on track there. To answer your question, the Brazilian forecast did turn wetter in the midday model update for center west Brazil. At the same time, we saw the crude oil market fail when it tried to take out or go steady on the week and get higher on the week and take out that 35.62 level. So these two things, and then there was a story coming out of China that their government has accepted DDG anti-dumping duty petition from their grain industry. And so with that such a big issue, and we talked about that this morning, these three things I think really did cool the jets of the longs. And I think it's probably healthy to have this kind of three things hitting the market to really test the resolve of the long. What we need here is that structural shift we talked about this morning. So with about an hour of trading left to go, we haven't done any technical damage to the market, but we haven't also really spelled out to the market that we've got a technical low in place either.
Can you take up the macroeconomics as it relates to the very low price of crude oil now in the $434 range, trading at least during the day for crude oil, and then also of the high value of the dollar up in that 98, nearly 99 index range?
Yeah, on the crude oil market, it's pretty simple math because the trade sees crude oil as China's demand, as China's GDP. And if they think that the Chinese GDP is weakening and their demand is weakening, it's going to show up more so in the crude oil, even more so, I think, than copper at this point, Todd. And you also have these supplies building here in this country as we wait for big production cuts to come in early 2016. Those low, low prices have started to hurt the oil companies very badly, but production hasn't been shut off. It takes about 3 to 6 months when they start making cuts on the rig counts and things like that. So as the crude oil has gone down, that has signaled to the market that they're more worried about the Chinese GDP because China's become a net exporter of oil at this point. They're still importing large amounts and bigger than year-to-date, last year, bigger than year-to-date numbers when it comes to the grains and oil seeds. But for the industrial commodities, they're very nervous about China, and they think that that might spill over. So it just keeps the commodity indexes out of the market because crude's such a big, and natural gas and heating oil are such large percentages of these commodity indexes. It kind of pulls everything down, including the grains. On the dollar side of the equation, I think the trade is worried or was worried before the Federal Reserve came out that the Fed would be on a path of higher interest rates that would cause us to come back into a global recession, that they'd be real eager to do a rate hike once a month or once every 2 months. And the Fed really made a big point of saying we are going to be extremely, in their words, accommodative to the idea that we don't want the dollar to go up higher. So I don't think the market's as worried about that. I think the dollar fundamentally is in the right place to actually help the commodity market. We're still waiting on that crude market to take shape, though.
Over the long run in 2016, what are your expectations?
I think trading range market is probably the best way I would look at it. Unlike 2015, I think that if we do get the crude oil low in place and the dollar high in place, which I do expect fundamentally, and what I mean by that is as long as we don't see a significant problem develop in China or a significant, which would problem, which would be more likely to develop in Brazil, to spill over into contagion into China, I think 2016 rallies will be better. We will be able to find more buying as we get in buy signals in 2016 versus 2015. I found it interesting, and I think this is important as we come back from the holiday trade, that Morocco came in and bought U.S. soft wheat and bought U.S. durum right as, you know, we were talking about that this morning as end users coming in. Also, the CME lowered the margins for both speculators and hedgers starting next week when it comes to corn and wheat. They lowered the corn margin by about 20%, lowered wheat margin by 14%, and kept beans unchanged. I think this maybe will help the spreads out in terms of the feed grain spreads. So I think 2016 has better rally potentials, especially if weather comes along and helps us, i.e. La Nina. But I think we still need to work down those supplies. So you have to be vigilant and be ready to sell, especially if we get profitable.
Have you discussed La Nina enough? And this would be the change from El Nino to La Nina, or the cooling of those ocean waters. Have you discussed it enough with meteorologists that you understand some limited, I suppose, impact of that change and where it affects the world?
Not really, because although the SST has dropped sharply, we really haven't seen a shift in the pattern here in the United States or a shift in the pattern in Brazil and Argentina. And the big thing that I always look at when it comes to that shift from El Nino to La Nina, will it happen quick enough so that the southern areas of Brazil that will really need to take on a lot of rain come January, February to finish the crop out, will it come just right at the right time to finish their crop out, or will they be hot and dry at exactly the wrong time? And I don't think the meteorologists have really pinpointed that yet. So I'm keeping that on the low end of the radar screen right now. It'll probably become much more important a month from now.
And so it's important to watch, but we have to wait it out. And it's about not only the change, but how quickly it happens, I take it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, what I'm really eager to see here is this structural shift now that we've got the Fed liftoff. Do we get commodity liftoff? Do we get enough bad news out there that it doesn't hurt the potential to go and make new highs? And we see the testing and the resolve of the long actually come back in the market, because then we can start talking about asset allocation back into commodities. And it takes a lot of pressure off the weather. We need more than weather to structurally shift these commodities. In other words, to stop hedging them and let the rallies ride. So I think that's really where I'm at, probably 30 to 45 days from now, right when we get into that February crop insurance price.
And finally, because this is the last opportunity that I'll have to ask anybody until we get to the new year, is there any reason for producers on old crop corn or soybeans to make additional sales at this time?
Not here. I think this is where, if I would see a really big problem happen in China or Brazil that would make me feel like we could have a shock to the downside for 30 or 60 days, it would be at the exact wrong time when they need to move crop. I would probably make a move and make recommendations to sell at these depressed levels. But I do see these otherwise fundamentally as depressed levels. And I'd rather be back up around 415 in March corn and 420 or 925 in the Jan-March beans before making any recommendations to sell old crop corn and beans. I think one thing that we want to watch for 2016 in light of that last question and the previous question, Todd, is the idea that we shift from a cash-led market to where the bins pay to more of a futures-led market where the asset allocation and the funds drive the futures higher. We don't want to fall in love with our crop in the bin if we do see that structural shift.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me today. We'll talk with you again in the new year.
Many blessings and Merry Christmas to you and all the great people at Will Radio and all the great listeners, Todd. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us here on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason, coming to you from Mount Vernon today at the 2015 edition of the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. This is the last of the five. Daryl Good has been traveling with us all week. It's been really a fantastic week on the road. I think some 800 in our audience for the week, Daryl.
Yes, we've had a really good turnout at all locations, and the weather has cooperated for us, and I think there's a lot of interest in our topics, and we're really pleased to have the following.
And speaking of the weather, this is one of the items you finish up, and early in the morning you're the first one on. The last thing that you talk about is the outlook for 2016 and weather really having some impact, not only here in the United States as you look forward, but weather in South America.
Yeah, weather is always important, obviously, as it affects supply of our major commodities, corn, soybeans, wheat. South America, I think the focus is beginning to be on Brazil, and they're kind of in the early to mid part of the growing season in many areas there. And we're seeing reports of kind of dryness in the northern areas, November rainfall in some major producing areas there, about half of normal levels. And in contrast, the southern areas have been extremely wet, record amounts of rainfall in those areas. And so the question is, have we done any permanent damage to the crop, or are we on the verge of some weather that will cause some yield shortfalls there and a smaller output? And I think the market's beginning to think that risk is real to some extent. We still don't know the magnitude of what kind of shortfall would materialize, but it's very different than the mentality of just a month ago that everything's okay, big crops coming, a lot of competition, no opportunity for price rallies. That mentality is changing just a bit.
However, at this point, you'd remain very conservative even on the impact of a shorter crop.
Yes, it's all in terms of degrees. So a shorter crop, how much? Marginally smaller really doesn't change the balance sheet or price prospects very much. We start seeing more significant declines in production potential, then price is going to respond proportionally to that. So I would argue we're in the early stages of kind of weather concern, and we'll have another month, 6 weeks of getting through that and trying to make some assessment of how it affected total output.
One of the other items I made note of in your presentation is a short discussion about the exchange rate and the strength of the dollar. Generally speaking, you have been of the mind over the years that exports are exports, and they remain that most of the time. However, the dollar is up over a series of years about 25%.
Right, and importantly, when we look at the dollar relative to some of our export competitors, particularly Brazil and Argentina, experiencing really very significant economic problems, very weak currencies, does put them at a bit of advantage from two standpoints. One, in the actual exports, they're more competitive on a dollar basis than we are. Secondly, the weak currencies there means that when the exports are made, it puts a lot of local currency in the pockets of producers there, which encourages them to continue to expand production. So it's kind of twofold. I think it's most important for soybeans, since the U.S. relies more heavily on the export market for soybeans, less important for corn because we're, 12-13% of our market is exports versus approaching 40% for soybeans.
What was your message on soybean price outlook for the day?
You know, for the most part, it was more of the same, that we have an abundant supply domestically and worldwide, and we've pushed prices well under $9 in most cash markets and would expect to average less than $9. We have normal production in South America and the U.S. next year. You would look at a very similar balance sheet of adequate to surplus stocks of soybeans and prices remaining sub $9. That's where the weather then becomes important, saying, is there some chance we could change that scenario so that the balance sheet would project much tighter stocks and opportunity for higher prices of soybeans?
For corn?
For corn, you know, we're looking at relatively low prices, obviously, $3.60 or so in many markets. Adequate but not surplus stocks of old crop corn expected to be on hand at the end of the year. So the focus will ultimately become next year. Do we see an opportunity for enough change to move prices higher? That could come with acreage. I'm not looking for a big change in acreage, maybe a slight increase. But on the yield side, we start all over again with a new year and what kind of weather we might see. And that's where, you know, some folks are pointing to the strong El Nino that we've been experiencing this fall and early winter, and looking at some history of strong El Ninos and what happens when those recede back to more normal or even to La Nina conditions. Does that have implications for Midwest weather and corn and soybean yields? And some would convincingly argue that a late rapid decline of the El Nino could point to some stressful summer weather here in the U.S. That would be extremely important for corn, since our surplus is not huge, and you know, 3, 4, 5 bushel reduction in the average yield would really tighten that balance sheet up significantly.
This leads you to be patient, I think, in making 2016 marketing decisions, or for the new crop from next year.
It does. You know, prices are not really very attractive at the moment, but I think there's going to be the temptation to say, if we get some small rallies, maybe we need to step up and begin marketing new crop. I'm suggesting that we'd be a little more patient to see how the El Nino unfolds, get into the spring, early summer, before we give up on some price rally opportunities for both crops. I think under the right conditions, that could be fairly sizable. And for the most part, downside risk is kind of limited. So I think all the risk factors say, let's wait a few months and see how this unfolds.
You didn't talk much about old crop. However, I suspect that you have some thoughts on that, and there's not much in the way of ability to store the crop, although farmers have much of it stored, but at least in terms of creating value if they store.
Right. I mean, the market is not offering much carry at this point, not much opportunity to forward price a stored crop at a profitable return. Farmers, I think, are going to run out of time to some extent. There's going to be the need for cash and to get next year's crop planted. So the window of pricing opportunity that's left on old crop is really much shorter than, obviously, for the new crop, corn and soybeans. So I think it's a slightly different strategy. You say, probably in the next couple of months, we don't see the upside price potential that we would see a little longer term, so that short-term rallies may still be pricing opportunities on old crop.
Darrell Good is an agricultural economist traveling on the Illinois Farm Economics Summit series this week across the state of Illinois. We'll wrap it up for the series this afternoon in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and be back in the office not until January, as I'll take a couple of weeks off over Christmas and New Year's. However, the closing market report, Commodity Week, are pre-produced, and they'll each air each and every day. And I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agribull, about the weather forecast. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted, and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This Stock and Commodity Report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason on the road this week, wrapping up the Illinois Farm Economics Summits in Mount Vernon, back to Champaign by the end of the day Friday. And then, of course, I'll be off for a couple of weeks, but we'll return in January to start the new calendar year and bring you more and fresh information. Let's take a look, speaking of fresh information, about the weather forecast, at it with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Agrible there in Champaign County. Boy, it was warm the first 17 days of the month of December, Eric. How out of trend has it been?
Yeah, it's if you're east of the Rocky Mountains, the first 17 days of December have been exceptionally warm. We're talking 4 to 10 degrees above average, so that's impressive. Many, many records fell in some of these really warm time periods. But interestingly enough, the last couple of days, especially in right here in central Illinois and kind of the Midwest, we've gone back to what's considered normal for this time of year. Temperatures in the 20s at night and 30s during the day. It's funny because that feels bitterly cold for us around here. So quite a change. Even though it's back to normal, we feel quite frigid.
Yeah, can you give me more warm weather? Because I sure would like it.
Yeah, well, what's kind of neat is this little bit of a cool snap that we've had has done one thing, and that's really gotten our soil temperatures down below 40 across the state of Illinois. But this cold weather is short-lived. By Sunday, we start to warm back up. I mean, shoot, in central Illinois, we're looking at temperatures back in the 50s. And that actually continues, you know, upper 40s to lower to mid-50s all the way through Christmas, even a couple of days following Christmas. Now, what I really want to kind of bring to your attention, though, is for the past 2 days, some of our long-range forecast models have been hinting at a pretty big winter weather system trying to move across the central plains in the Midwest, looking like Sunday, Monday. So we're talking December 27th and 28th. Now, before it gets here, it's going to be warm, but there's the potential with this system, the way it's coming through the models right now, to possibly bring us some wintry precipitation. So we're talking across Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, you know, that kind of area, possibly some ice, and maybe after the system exits, maybe even a little bit of snow. Now, remember, this is 10 days out in the forecast or more, so there's a lot of kind of volatility in the forecast that far out. But it's the first time we've seen some actual winter weather around here since, you know, a while ago in November. So it's something that I'm keeping an eye on for us over the next 10 to 12 days.
You know, turn your attention to South America and tell me about the growing weather there.
Yeah, so in South America, we've had this story kind of all season long about the northern parts of the growing regions in South America, really in Brazil, being a bit drier than normal. In some locations, about half the normal precipitation. And remember, half of normal precipitation is still quite a bit of precipitation. It stressed some of the crops in the north. They've had to do a little bit of replanting. What it's really going to do is probably impact the safrinha crops. Those are the second crops that are planted. The south is still wet, and it's continued to be forecast to be wet for the next 14 days. You know, a lot of this is a consequence of El Nino, and the El Nino is currently quite strong. Will be waning, though, over the coming months, getting into spring, which is actually kind of coming back to North America. Maybe one of the reasons why January into February is actually looking more toward a return to normal in terms of the weather around here. There's kind of a couple of big players there, but El Nino is one of them. So that's kind of the big picture forecast.
Eric, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass, of course, is with Agrible. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. It's the 18th day of December. I'll be off on vacation for a couple of weeks over Christmas and New Year's. However, the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week are both in the can and ready to go.